We are going to start a new series through the book of 1 Peter. We have themed this year as distinct, and I had no idea how distinct 2020 would be, right? I mean, this is turned into a year like none other, and worship looks a little different, but I'm thankful that I get a chance, an opportunity to worship with people I love. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for tuning in and being part of what God's doing continually, also through Facebook Live and the church that's in homes throughout all of our county and surrounding counties. We welcome you as well this morning. And so if you would, we're going to stand to honor the reading of God's word. We'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can come to gather to worship you, Lord, to lift up songs of praise, Lord, to lift up our prayers, to give our tithes and offerings, to bring before you what you deserve, our everything. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see who we are, what you've called us to do, and the people we are to be. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear this morning. I do understand that there is strict judgment in my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you all have ever been in a place where you felt like you didn't fit in or you didn't belong? Anybody? Like, you were just out of place, like, I don't need to be here, don't even want to be here, and all this stuff. Well, so I got married, Michelle and I got married in 1999, way back in the 1900s, and in 1999, and I'd already been in Louisville going through seminary and living there, and then when we got married, she moved to Louisville with us, and in 2000, there was an opportunity for some students at the seminary to go and be a part of a Billy Graham conference that was held in Amsterdam. And so it was called the Amsterdam 2000 Conference. It was a church-wide conference. There were over 122 nations represented there, and there were pastors and lay pastors all over the world from every tongue, tribe, and nation who gathered to be a part of this. And so I was really excited and looking forward to it and thought, man, I'd love to be a part of that. But I had to fly. You know, you had to fly to get to Amsterdam. I've never flown before. And I thought, well, how long is the flight? About 13 hours. So my first flight is a flight cross seas, right? If you're going to do it, you might as well just go ahead and do it big, right? Get it over with. And so we began the journey in Louisville, going from Louisville to Detroit. And that flight, as soon as we took off, a storm came. And so we had to fly in the middle of storming, and the turbulence, and the plane starts shaking, you know, and I think, that's it. I'm going home, just like that song we just sang. I'm going home. This is it. My life is over. Just got married. Here, I'm going to go down in the plane. And so the pilot gets on there and says, guys, we're experiencing some turbulence. We're going to go up, exit, blah, 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 and we're going to go over the storm. And so we went up over the storm, which was pretty cool because you could see the lightning and the dark clouds underneath you. Well, we made it to Detroit. So I got to Detroit, never been into an airport before, a big one. It's one of the biggest ones, they tell me. And so I'm having to run to my terminal. Is that right? Yeah, I don't fly very often. And I get there, and they switched it. So I had to go run all the way to the other side, barely made that plane. 13 hours on a plane, get to Amsterdam, go get my luggage. So I go to the luggage pickup, and, you know, it's coming around, right? And I'm sitting there waiting. You everything goes around, cycles around. I see the same suitcases, but I don't see mine. I'm starting thinking, oh man, what happened? What'd I do? So I go check it out. I'm like, my suitcases aren't coming in. They're like, oh yeah, we're sorry. There was a problem with the transfer of the plane from Detroit. Your luggage is going to be delayed. What? Here's you a shirt. They handed me a white shirt. It was a dress shirt, I think made of polyester that basically could walk itself. It could just stand itself. And then they gave me some black pants. They said, here you go. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, thank you. And so here I am. I'm not over there with, I am over there with some other seminary guys, but I don't really know them. I'm not there with a bunch of friends. I'm there, you know, by myself. I'm in this other country, and I'm feeling a little awkward, and I don't really want to be there now. I'm kind of done. I'm already done with the trip. Just got there. I'm already done. I want to go back home. But I had to be there for 10 days, and during that 10-day stay, we stayed in this huge place, maybe 10 Walmarts put together or more, and they just had bunk beds set up all over the place. And they had these makeshift showers. And they gave you one of those little things, those blinders that you put over your eyes, because the light stayed on all the time. And so if you wanted to sleep in the dark, you had to put that on. I thought, I want to go home. You know, I don't like this. I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm feeling out of place, and I don't want to go. So I'm trying to get my luggage back, right? I mean, I'm going to conferences, which is great, right? They had some really well-known speakers there. Ravi Zacharias, who just recently went on to be with the Lord, was there. John Stott was there. They had these really big-name theologians there, so that was not. But I wanted my clothes. I wanted my clothes. And so I'd go back, and I had to travel by train, not the kind of train. I mean, I've never traveled on train before. The only train I ever traveled on was at Kings Island, right? So that was my form of transportation, on a train. But this is like Amtrak train, just these trains. And so I'm in a foreign country. Thankfully, they spoke English as well, right? And trying to get back and forth to an airport in a place that I've never been in. And so I get there and I'm asking for my luggage. Day one, no luggage. Day two, no luggage. Day three, finally, I get my luggage. But it was kind of awkward because when I got there at customs, they started asking me all these questions and like interrogating me, like, why are you in our country? I'm like, I'm at a Bible conference, you know, Billy Graham. I thought his name might mean, you know, carry some weight. I'm like, I was like, look, I'm over here. I'm an American, and I'm over here at this conference about Jesus, and we're studying the Bible. And they were like, well, okay. And they let me out like, whew, I thought, I'm going to go to jail. They're going to detain me. I just got married. What's happening? So here I am. I'm ready to go home, right? I want to go home. So day's over, flight out. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, waiting. I'm thinking, what's the deal with my plane? So I go up there and I'm checking. I'm like, how come our flight, what's wrong with our flight? Oh, they didn't tell you? Flight got canceled. We're going to have to put you up in it. I'm like, I want to go home. I don't belong here. This is, Lord, just get me home. Just get me home. That was my prayer. I just want to get home. I want to get out of this country. I didn't feel like I belonged. I need to get back home. So finally, when I landed back in Detroit, I was like, woo, thank you, Jesus. I'm back on American soil in my country, and soon I will be once again with my wife. But I was there in Amsterdam as a traveler, but I did have a purpose. There was a reason why I was in Amsterdam, to go to the conference, to learn more about the Bible and to interact with other pastors from all around the world. I was there for a purpose, But boy, I wanted to go home. Because I was not in a land where I was a citizen. I was a citizen somewhere else. And what Peter is going to tell the Christians that he is writing to, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, someone that is sent out by Jesus, to the elect exiles of the dispersion. So he's writing to a group of believers, some Jew, many Jews, and also he's writing to Greek Christians as well, but to the Jews who lived in Jerusalem that were scattered out because of the persecution, they were now living in a land and in areas that wasn't their home. They were foreigners, they were aliens, they were strangers, they were exiles, they were travelers. And what Peter's going to do, he's going to use that real life experience that they're living in right now, that I'm living in a place where I'm not a citizen of, and he's going to connect that to the Christian life and let us know that, hey, we are citizens of another kingdom. The reason why this world never looks right to us, the reason why we see injustice, we see hate, we see anger, we see jealousy, we see pride, we see bitterness, we see all the things that aren't right, that's because we live for another world. Our heart is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We know things aren't right here, and we're uncomfortable here. And as a believer, guess what? We should be uncomfortable here. Because this is not our home. We're uncomfortable when things aren't done the way that God says it should be done. And as long as we live here on this time, we're traveling through, we are elect exiles. The word elect means chosen. Exile can mean stranger, alien. It can mean sojourner. It can mean pilgrim. It can mean traveler. This morning I want to talk to you about the chosen traveler. That we are a chosen traveler who's living in this world right now, but our home is in heaven and we do have a purpose while we're here. There's a reason why God has us here traveling through this journey, traveling through this, we call life on earth. There's a reason, there's a purpose that we're here. And Paul says that you are chosen exiles or chosen travelers by the foreknowledge of God. Now we're going to see the Trinity at work here in this, but first we're going to look at the foreknowledge of God. What does foreknowledge mean? What does it mean for the foreknowledge of God? Some people will view foreknowledge like this. It's more of a foreseeing. It's God foreseeing down the future, right? And we know that God is all-knowing. We know that God is all-seeing. God is everywhere present. So foreknowledge, one aspect of foreknowledge certainly is that God knows everything and he can see the future before it even happens. He already knows the end before it even begins. Why? Because God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God is outside of time. God's outside of time. So he knows everything, right? But it's not just a foreseeing down the future that Peter's talking about when he uses the word foreknowledge. It is a foreknowing. The biblical word knowing. Knowing is an intimate word. It's an acquainting word that I knew you. So he says that you're a chosen traveler based on the foreknowledge of God. When God speaks to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah he says this, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I what? I knew you. Knew you. That's intimately acquainted with. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God says, Jeremiah, before you and your mama shared that milkshake and had their first date, I already knew you. I knew you. I consecrated you, set you apart, sanctified you, and I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Peter is going to use language of to the Christian, the same language that he used to the in the Old Testament Israel. Remember, Israel was not a nation, right? God says that I created you before you even existed. I called you out of nothing. Before you weren't a people, but I made you a people, right? And he made them a people to declare his glory. And as the Jews were dispersed among the nations, their purpose was to shed the light of God to the nations. They were supposed to be a light unto the nations. And so Peter says that we, as believers, we are God's chosen exiles, we are God's chosen travelers that have been called out by God, that have been known before the foundation of the world to become a people that will declare his glory. There is a purpose while we're here. The plan of salvation was not an afterthought. The Bible tells us that Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. Before God said, let there be, the plan of redemption was already set. Before you were even born, God knew you. Based on the foreknowledge of God, he chose you. In, let's look at what else he says, in the sanctification of the Spirit, right? According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, so we are chosen travelers according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit. Now, Paul writes about sanctification in 1 Corinthians 1:2, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. The sanctification has two aspects. One is the aspect of salvation, that the Holy Spirit plays a vital role in the salvation of mankind. That we are set apart or consecrated by the work of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, God the Father decrees salvation in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit then convicts and convinces us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Every single one of us who call ourselves believers, we claim the name of Jesus. Now, according to your denomination, you may have experienced it in somewhat different ways, or expressed it, I would say, somewhat different ways. But there's one thing that should be the same for every believer. There was a moment in time when the Holy Spirit convicted your heart and made you realize that you were lost and you were a sinner and you were without hope and that you needed the grace of an almighty God. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit speaks and convicts. Now, some of us, we thought we were pretty good. We thought we could ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit, didn't we? Huh? How many of you all, the first time the Holy Spirit knocked on your heart's door and said, hey, you need to be saved, you need to listen to that preacher, you need to be saved, you immediately said, I need to be saved, I'm going. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three. Not most people, right? Most people, we sit in church, and I know this is how I was, and maybe some of you were, and it comes to the invitation time. And if you went to a church like I grew up in, you had pews, and the invitation would come, and you would feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and instead of moving and saying, yes, I'm in agreement, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved, and pray to receive Jesus as Lord, you gripped the pew. And you looked around. And you would try to do anything you could to distract yourself. Anybody experience that? Okay, more like that, right? And you thought, man, I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it. But what happened? You thought you could outrun God, but guess what? You couldn't. He chased you down. He convinced you. And finally you said, Lord, you're right. I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sin. And you called upon the great name of the Lord Jesus. And what happened on that day? The Holy Spirit of God set you apart for a special purpose. He sanctified you. He sealed you. He stamped you. He approved you. He birthed you. You became a citizen of God, and now your citizenship is established in heaven and not on earth. You became a new creation that day. Somebody shout amen. And so you were born again. And that's why now you have different values, a different heartbeat, and things look different, and you feel at odd. You feel like I don't belong here. That's because you really belong in heaven. You're an ambassador of heaven, Paul says. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who goes to another nation to speak on behalf of the nation they represent. That's what we are. We are chosen travelers to speak on behalf of our homeland, which is heaven. Does that make sense? Sanctified, set apart. Sanctified is a biblical word that means set apart for God's purpose. To be set apart for God's purposes. So we are a chosen traveler who has a divine purpose placed on our life. Somebody give me a head nod. Somebody say amen. That's good news, right? I've got a divine purpose for my life. You've got a divine purpose for your life. You've been sanctified, set apart for a special holy purpose. I've often used this when I talk about sanctification, and I think it helps maybe give us some imagery on this. I remember my grandmother, her home, she had a china cabinet. She had special china in that china cabinet. Anybody have a china cabinet? You got special plates? These are special plates. These are fancy plates. These are sanctified plates because they're set apart for a special purpose. And we didn't eat on those plates. But on very few occasions, she'd break out that china. If it was a special family dinner, then you ate on the special plates, the sanctified plates. Peter says to the Christians, and he says this to us today, that we are a chosen traveler according to the foreknowledge of God in the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. We've been set apart, called out by God. Why? Look at this next one. For obedience to Jesus Christ. There's our purpose, obedience. Say obedience. Yeah. Thank you, amen. For obedience. The word here, obedience, is a rare word that's used. It means to hearken to. It means to listen for the purpose of follow through. It means to obey on the basis of having paid attention to. Okay? And so what Peter's saying is that our Christian faith is one where we've been chosen by God, sanctified in His Spirit for the purpose of obedience, of hearkening unto the voice of God, paying attention to what God is doing so that I might live my life out to please and honor Him. That's how Jesus lived His life. Jesus, when he walked this earth, he said this: I say nothing on my own authority. Right? Whatever I hear my Father say, that's what I say. Whatever I see my Father doing, that's what I do. And so Jesus observed, paid attention to what his Father's will was for his life, and he acted upon that and obeyed his Father. Amen? And so as a Christian, we are called to imitate Christ. Therefore, as a Christian, as a chosen traveler through this world that we no longer belong to, who's been set apart and sanctified by the Holy Spirit for a special purpose and special use, to be obedient to the Lord Jesus, it is our duty to read from his word, to hear the voice of God, to examine the life of Jesus and live our life accordingly, that we pay attention to, that we hear for the purpose of follow through. Right? So I love like Jesus loved. I forgive like Jesus forgave. I live my life according to his pattern, to what the scripture says. I don't walk in bitterness and anger and hatred and lying and slandering. I don't walk in that. Why? Because Jesus didn't walk in that. No, I walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I walk in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Paul says, walk by the Spirit and you will not desire the lust of the flesh. Because the members of our body wage war against each other. There is that sinful fleshy nature, but now we got the new nature of Christ living in us. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People aren't our enemies. No, the Bible tells us, but we wrestle against principalities, the prince and power of this air. So people aren't our enemies. Our enemy is the ancient foe, Satan, who seeks to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. But Jesus said, I have come so that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And so Peter wants us to know that as we're strangers, as we're travelers through this journey called life in this land that we no longer belong to, there is a divine purpose for our life. We've been chosen by God and set apart by the Spirit to obey Jesus the Son. And then he says, for the sprinkling of blood. The sprinkling of blood. What's that about? In the Old Testament, when Moses brought down the covenant of God before the people of God, and he brought down the commandments, and he spoke the covenant over the people, and the people agreed that they wanted to covenant with God and obey its demands, a sacrifice was made. There's no covenant in the Bible that was not ratified without blood. And so there was a sacrifice of bulls and goats. So they sacrificed the animal, offering it, and then Moses took a hyssop branch, dipped the hyssop branch in the blood, and he sprinkled it on the people. And as that blood fell upon them, it was the sign that covenant that they had made with God had been sealed and applied to their heart. Well, the author of Hebrews writes in Hebrews 10, verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. That's speaking of the crucifixion, correct? And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water of his word. We are sprinkled and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The work that Jesus did on the cross is not sufficient for man to be saved until it is applied to their heart. Just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean that all men will be saved. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for those who would call upon his great name and applied that salvation to everyone who will call upon him will be saved. Right? For whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the blood of Jesus must sprinkle us, cleanse us. It must be applied to our hearts. Our conscience must be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, for without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no forgiveness of sin, you see. And so Jesus, what he done is saved us by his grace and mercy. He told the disciples to wait, right? To wait. For John baptized with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And when Peter writes these words, he says, I want grace and peace to be multiplied to you. The grace of God, we should grow in our walk with God, right? And every day, more and more of his grace, the more that we see of his goodness and his mercy, and the more we live for him, the more we experience God in our life. The more we recognize that this world is not our home, I'm a traveler, but I've got a purpose. I've got a divine purpose. And when I wake up in the morning, I live as a citizen of another world. And my purpose is to make much of Jesus and to glorify his name, to point people to Jesus. This world's passing away. Okay? It's never going to be right. There's always going to be sin that's going to impact and infect the human heart. That's why we need the gospel, because only Jesus can change people. Only Jesus can change the human heart. That's why people need to call upon his great name. And so as we are journeying through this life, as we're traveling through this life, guess what we need to do? We need to make sure we're pointing people to who? To Jesus and to the true homeland, because that's where we belong, amen? I was talking with my wife, Michelle, as she's asking me what I was preaching on, and I was kind of sharing with her what I was preaching. That way, if she can give me some good advice, you know, and she can give me some good points or stories, and then I can claim them as my own, right? And you know how Facebook, you'll pop up a memory or whatever. But on that day we were talking about that, there was a memory that popped up. It was dated June 10th of 2018. And she wrote this, and she quoted C.S. Lewis in it. She said, people often incorrectly believe something or someone in this world might fulfill our longings and desires. However, according to Scripture, that is faulty thinking. C.S. Lewis once stated, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. In other words, God created us with longings that are ultimately fulfilled in him. You see, this world is not our home. Why do we feel so strange here? Why do we have a longing for heaven? Because that's where our home is. We know this world is impacted by the fall. And we know that one day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that King Jesus is going to come back and make all things new. And we long for that. Why? because we're a chosen traveler who's been sanctified in the Spirit, set apart for a divine purpose for the obedience of Jesus Christ, ones who have been sprinkled by his blood, saved and set free. Amen. We watched a movie this week, and I was astounded how well it was fit into the message. I thought, oh man, I've got to use this. And maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. We'd never heard about it. It's called Same Kind of Different as Me. Anybody ever watch that? Same Kind of Different as Me. It's a great movie. It's very timely, especially with what's going on right now in our nation. It is a Christian-based film. It's about a lady who has a passion to just use her life for the glory of God. And she has this dream about helping the homeless. And so she starts beginning to be part of this homeless ministry where they're setting up a food shelter for all the homeless in that community to come and eat. And she's serving them and she's blessing them. And eventually she gets her husband to come along and be a part of that ministry as well. And there's one gentleman in the movie who is very angry and dangerous. And he doesn't trust people. And he's very violent. And eventually, through the grace of God, they kind of win this man's friendship and they become really good friends. Well, this man, later on in the movie, is asked to speak at a funeral service. And at this funeral service, all the homeless people from that place come. And they're all dressed up in their suit. They got some nice clothes on. And they all come and they lay down a yellow rose by the casket. And they go and they find the seat. The church is full of people. And all the homeless are sitting over here. And he gets up and he begins to speak. And he's a Christian man. And he says, I want you to know that we're all homeless. If you're a Christian, guess what? You're homeless. Because this world is not our home. We're waiting until we get to our home. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you might be also. There's a home waiting. It's not this world. So we're all homeless. And I begin wondering, I'm thinking, like, what can we do as Christians to try to help us remember this truth and get this message to really impact our life and live it out this week and the weeks to come? The truth that we are a chosen traveler by the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of obeying Jesus. How can we live every single day thinking like that? And what are some things that we can look and see and do to remind us of that? And I thought, you know, next time you see a homeless person, let that always be a reminder that you're homeless too. I think it was Landon. Was it Landon? Just yesterday. They were in Lexington, and they saw a homeless guy. And Landon, man, he's been working. He's got him a big job. He's mowing yards, making a lot of money, doing good. Proud of him. He gets in his pocket, he reaches out, and he hands that man a $20 bill. That's more than what I would do, right? That's more than what many of y'all would do, right? And he said, Dad, nobody wants to live like that. You know, there's homeless people all around us, and I don't mean just people that doesn't have a home, but there's lost people all around us. They're homeless. They live in bitterness and anger and hate. People really don't want to live like that, but they are. They're trapped. They're attacked by the enemy, Satan. The God of this world, the Bible says, is blinding the minds of unbelievers so they will not see the light of who Jesus is. So therefore, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So I began thinking, you know, what can we do? We can live our each and every day as a traveler who's trying to point people to home, where they belong, connected to the one true God who made them and created them and loves them. Next time you go on vacation, some of you are about to go on some vacations here pretty soon. When you pack up that suitcase and you put your clothes in there and you travel for a week or two, let that be a reminder. You're a traveler. You're a traveler in this world with a divine purpose on your life. Wake up each and every day. Remind yourself, Lord Jesus, this world is not my home. I am a chosen traveler that has been saved by the grace of God and set apart by the Holy Spirit for a divine purpose. Help me to walk in that today. And I think if we all focused on that and lived our life that way, I think we'd be pointing more people to home. What about you? And then I think we might see some change, because Jesus changes lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful.